Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, good evening to all of our brothers and sisters that are out there listening. You are listening to the PRF Table. I'm Reverend Dunlap. We also have with us hosting Reverend Feaster. How are you doing this evening, brother?
I am doing fabulous. I'm excited and anticipating tonight's show. I think we're going to kick open a hornet's nest today.
I think we are too, my brother. And I'm going to tell you, I was just talking to my brother out in California, and I just said, man, this is going to be a deep one. It's not going to be a deep one for anything that we do on a negative scale, but it's going to be a deep one because we're really going to be getting deep down into some a subject area tonight that individuals may not want to deal with, that the church may not really want to deal with, that we as just men and women of God think we have a very good understanding and maybe thinking we're doing it right, and we may not be doing it the correct way. At the same time, it's not about a right or a wrong way. It's just basically the understanding that individuals have about this subject that we're talking about tonight. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a show called Truth in Tithing. And I can tell you, Brother Feaster, that it took me a while to just come up with a title or allow God to give me the title. I had several of them flowing through my head. And really what we want to be able to do on tonight, Brother Feaster, is to be able just to pull out some truth about this tithing. I know we've talked before in the past, and from your experience and from my experience, we have our experiences, and we want to be able to talk about those and at the same time allow the space for other people, other men and women of God, other leaders in the ministry to be able to talk and ask questions. You know, an ignorant man thinks that ignorant person thinks that he or she knows all there is to know about something that's God's business. Amen. Amen. So we're not ignorant. We're not coming at this subject, which is a sensitive topic, and we already know that. So we're not coming at it from the angle that we know everything about tithing. What we're going to do on tonight, we're really just going to talk about the questions, the concerns, the misunderstandings in some cases that, you know, you and I may have had, Brother Feaster, others may have had as well. And from there, let's try to get some freedom. So with that, are you ready?
I am ready. I am ready.
Sister Adia, she's not here right at the present time, but I'm believing that she'll be on in a short. So here's how we're going to get started. You know, as we say week after week, and this is something that I have to say it, this PRF Table, ladies and gentlemen, is not a show about finances. If you think the show is about finances, then that's just a tip of the iceberg. What it really is not about getting somebody out of debt. It's not about cleaning up your credit. It's not about helping you find a job. It's much more than that. It's a whole lot bigger than that. It's really about a show that deals with connecting the dots when it comes to possessions, resources, and finances. This show is about showing how each element of PRF is interconnected and interconnected. So it's just like we as people in community. We are so connected to each other. We're connected to our neighbors. We're connected to the people we go to work with, the people that we go to church with. We are all connected to one another. And if we realize that, and to bounce off from last week, Brother Feaster, if we value one another, then we'll realize and understand that from a PRF perspective, that the resources that God gave me is for not just for me, but is also for somebody else. So in this show, what we're really going to be doing, we're just going to be looking at the creative learning process. We're just going to be led by God. We're going to pray and believe that everybody's going to learn and grow. We're going to break down some of these spiritual and psychological barriers that people have, that some people may hold on to from reaching their potentials in life. So what we're asking tonight, everybody, is just right from the top. Don't be anxious for nothing, as the Bible says. Be anxious for nothing. Allow God to speak to you throughout this show. If you don't get your question answered right up front, maybe the question that you want to be answered may not be the answer that God wants to provide to you right now. Does that make sense, Brother Feaster?
It makes sense. It's all timing. It's all process. So
it
makes sense.
And let me say this also. This is not just a show for Christians. This is a show, tonight's show, and the shows that are going to come after this is a show for many people out there, especially Christians. Because I can tell you, this subject, somebody who is a non-believer, when they listen to so many of us as Christians, and we don't even have a common consensus about what tithing is, and then they come to be a part of the church or are led by the church or accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and then they wind up finding out that Brother Feaster has his own interpretation,
mm-hmm.
Brother Dunlap has his own interpretation, Sister Sanders has her own interpretation, and they all in the same church. They will see that there is something wrong with that picture, Brother Feaster. So it's up to us to be able to try to bring some clarity, to be able to try to provide some direction. But most importantly, let's just go and see what the Word of God says. And I'm talking about the written Word, not the spoken Word that God speaks to me and you in our hearts. We have to have some type of foundation when it comes to this. Because I'm going to just be honest, Brother Feaster, and I'm going to let you, you know, throw your comments in now. It seems like we are all over the place as the body of Christ when it comes to tithing.
Yes.
So you got some opening comments for us, brother, before we go ahead and really get deep down into this show tonight.
Yeah, I want to give my I want to start off by giving my personal experience on being introduced to tithing and just tell you where I'm coming from in this, because by far I've learned a lot this week in just conversations between you and I that I never knew, and I thought I knew a little bit about it. But I grew up in the church, but tithing was not talked about at all. And I graduated and came to the Army and was stationed in Texas and went to this church and ended up joining the church and going through the new members class, and there was a whole section dedicated to tithing. Well, just like any other good old traditional Baptist church, when they start discussing tithing, all they do is feed you with a bunch of scriptures telling you that tithing is a commandment, tithing is what the tithing, the tithing, tithing. And so when we got finished, I said, well, what is a tithe? And he went back into pretty much everything he had just said. And I was like, well, I don't understand, you know, what is a tithe? I don't understand what you're talking about. Now, here I am, a new member in this church, I had been going to that church for a couple of months, you know, new to the church, new in the community, you know, and he comes out of his mouth and said, well, you know, I can get the pastor in here, and he can explain it to you. Now, I'm the new guy. Why does it take the pastor to have to come in and explain to me something that you're telling me is a requirement of mine? Why I can't hear it from you? And it wasn't even that I was trying to contradict or go against or anything, but it was just simply I wanted to understand it. And I felt like, well, since you don't want to listen to me and what the Bible is saying, maybe you listen to the pastor as opposed to telling me what I was asking to know. And so it started off, and I didn't tithe after that. I didn't. I didn't understand, and I wasn't going to tithe because I didn't understand. He did not necessarily convince me, but he didn't quench my curiosity, you know. And it took a couple of months. It took a couple of months before I began tithing. Once I began to understand what tithing is, and I still have questions, but you know, that was my first experience. It wasn't a bad experience, but it wasn't the best of experience, you know. So I'm coming in with, you know, with sympathy, understanding there are people out there that want to know. Maybe even asking the right questions to whom they believe are the right people and still walking around in a state of confusion, not knowing, you know, what is it and why are we saying these same scriptures and, you know, you feel like you got to condemn me when we talk about tithing. So that's my opening comments. I just want to get that personal experience of mine to let everybody know that I'm in this game just like everybody else.
Right. And that was one of the things that I thought about, Brother Feaster, as well, something to put out to the people, those who are listening whether online or listening by calling in, is, you know, what's your first experience with tithing? I think that is truly important to this whole conversation, this whole dialogue about tithing, is if people can actually explain to people or just testify to them about their experience with tithing. Now, at the same time, I do believe that that's also a dangerous thing because it depends on what that person's understanding of tithing is. Let me give you a perfect example. There is a difference. If I had to come from a Baptist preacher point of view, which I'm not, you know, I don't subscribe to all that. But here would be point one. Is there a difference between giving 10% and giving a tithe? Is there a difference between giving 10% and giving a tithe? I'm not going to say I have the answer, Brother Feaster. I'm just putting it out there. And the reason I'm putting it out there is this. I just truly believe that there are a lot of individuals who give 10% of their income to the church because that's what they've been told to do. They've been told you must give 10% because you're a Christian. Well, if they're just doing it because they're told, they're doing it out of legalism. There's no heart. Where's the heart in that?
Right.
Where's the heart? Man, when we get to the scriptures, we're going to wait for a few minutes before we really get into the scriptures so we can get a lot more people, those who are running behind this evening. But it's a heart thing. Anybody can give 10%. If I sold drugs and I made $20,000 off a drug deal, I can give 10% to the church, two G's. But are you going to say that that is a tithe? No, sir. I don't think you would. I don't think you would. So we have to be able to understand that a tithe is a spiritual thing. There is purpose behind the tithe. It's not just giving 10% of your income and thinking that that's it. It's not about paying your tithes.
Right.
So the first thing is, it's a difference between giving 10% and giving a tithe. Second thing is, you don't pay tithes, you give tithes.
Right.
You pay your bills. I hear a lot of people saying that, and I will correct somebody in love when they say, well, I paid my tithes. Because the mindset, it really matters. Things that go through your brain, that get into your mind, affect your heart. So it truly, truly matters, everybody, just listening out there. And we're not rushing anything, Brother Feaster. You know us. We go as we say go. It truly, truly matters what people are listening to in regard to what is tithing all about. Why should people tithe? What's the purpose of tithing? You know, we posted on Facebook, Brother Feaster, you know, several questions, and I tell everybody the Facebook page is possessions.resources.finances. And if you go on the Facebook page, we have several questions that are out there. And we'll maybe run them off, and Brother Feaster, you can check these as we're going throughout the show tonight. But one of the questions was, how long have you been in the church before you started tithing? And if you feel you were in the church for a long while, quote unquote, for a minute, quote unquote, why do you think it took so long? You just heard Brother Feaster say why it took a couple of months for him. Because the one who was presented before him in a role of teaching in his early days of Christianity was not equipped with what you needed.
Right.
Now, one thing I do think is good, I do think the fact that he said, you know, hey, I don't know, however it came out, that he didn't know, and he wanted to get the pastor. But on the flip side of that, if that brother is tithing and doesn't know why he's tithing, that's what attributed to you waiting a couple of months. And I think everybody needs to understand our witness affects other people. What if you would have left the church and said, man, these cats don't know what they're talking about? What if you heard that this was such a simple thing to do, tithing, but yet this person who was before you, not condemning him at all, but this person before you wasn't able to give you understanding as you were hungry for it? Go ahead, Brother Feaster.
Yeah, also, you know, what does that say about people you put in position? And I know we're not talking about leadership today, but what does that say about people you put in position? I mean, this is not only was he a leader, a teacher, but he was a leader in the church. So what does that say about people you put in position? I mean, when you start talking about, is there a difference between a tithe and 10%, my mind immediately said yes, and the scripture that popped in my mind was the text where you have the publican and you have the widow. No, I can't remember. It was two people before they were giving their offering, and the guy with all the money beating his chest, and he was like, you know, I give 10% of this, and I do all of this, and I do all of this. But yet,
right,
the publican, that's what the other person was. The publican was like, with a head bowed down in shame, was like, I'm not even worthy to even do this, but yet, you know, Lord. And so it goes to show you that we really need to take account for who we put in position. Who are we putting in position? Who are these people that we put in position, you know, how are they affecting the people that are coming in? Now, me, I grew up in the church, so I kind of didn't have a problem. However, everybody that comes to new members are not, you know, have a church base. So now, if I have been someone with no church base and you're telling me, the way I took it was, man, so now I got a problem, I got to go see the pastor. That's like going to see the principal.
That's
so
right.
It made me feel kind of like I was wrong for even asking the question when, I mean, the
wow.
Bible says, I know it now, I didn't know it then, but the Bible says, and all you're getting, get an understanding. So
right.
Why do I have to go to the principal? If I'm sitting in class and my teacher is talking on a subject of science and we're going over the anatomy of the human cell, and I say, I do not understand the purpose of the nucleus, that teacher does not say, well, I'm going to send you to the principal, you know, I'm going to send you to the principal so the principal can give you a better understanding. No, that teacher gets there and explains to me what the nucleus does. And that's how I felt. Like, you know, I felt like I'm wrong. I want to know. You want my money. And at that time, I was broke. And
right.
You want my money. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't just tell somebody to give up your money. You can't tell somebody to give up their car. You can't tell somebody to give up, you know, their sandwich. There has to be a reason. There has to be a purpose behind it. And you have to hit me to reach me for me to want to do it. And that's what I'm talking about with that example in the text. People are doing it out of obligation. People are doing it out of love, or because of obligation and because of love. And everything we do in the body of Christ, following God, He wants to be done with our heart.
That's right.
With our heart. There are many examples in the Bible where people did things what we would say would be contrary to the Word of God, but God saw the heart of man, and He not necessarily allowed it. But grace came in, and like a rushing mighty wind, grace came in. Instead of being judged, grace came in.
You know what? This is something that you said brings me to this particular scripture. You know, in Ephesians 4, it says, and to some He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. You know, what we would say, what we call the fivefold ministry. And that's what I'm thinking about when you mentioned that this individual did not know. He didn't know, but there was somebody else that did. And that's the other point that I was going to bring up. It is a good thing in one respect, in my opinion, Brother Feaster, that he was not trying to tap dance around what it was.
Right.
And fed you a bunch of garbage that you take out and you feed somebody else a bunch of garbage. Or that it runs you away because you feel, man, this sounds like it's too hard because of how they explained it to you without clarity. So I think I know it's truly important that scripture, it rings true. Everybody doesn't have the same talents, gifts, and abilities. God didn't give those same fivefold ministry to every church. If you go to another book. I believe it's in the book of Romans. He only mentions three. So God equips the church house, the body of Christ, with whatever it needs to be able to function. And a lot of times we don't go to the rest of that scripture, so I'll go there. The responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. As I read that, I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this thing is about maturity. This thing is about mattering to not just yourself, but to the people around you, but most importantly, mattering to God. And you are important to God. He doesn't want none of us ignorant about the things that he has said that he wants us to do. What kind of God would be like that? So what we're doing tonight and what we're going to continue to do is really just start trying to unpack some of these hurts that people have when it comes to tithing, because a lot of people have problems with tithing because it hurts. You know, go ahead, bro.
I was going to say, even in that, some people got a problem with the tithe because they look, I mean, there are a couple of areas that just popped in my mind. People got a problem with the tithe because I remember sitting in a church meeting once, and there was a discrepancy on the financial report, and the pastor acted like he didn't want to tell nobody what the discrepancy was. So people are working hard at their job. You know, some people hate their job, but they need the money, so they push through the boss, and they push through the co-workers, and they push through the distance and the time and their sick kids and all of this stuff. And then I come to church and you want my money, then I can't. You can't tell me what my money's going to. You can't explain to me what is this miscellaneous $10,000. Where is the $10,000 that's not up there, but yet it's in the total, you know. So people want to know, and we have a right to know.
Right. You know, one of the things that I want everybody to understand, and again, we're doing a long introduction, but, you know, we have nothing but time. There is a lot of confusion about tithing. I know it, but Afisa knows it, and those who are in leadership positions in the church, they know it as well.
Yep.
They know it. They know people are not knowledgeable about tithing. They don't have a lot of people don't have a full understanding about tithing. And here's how we help resolve that problem, because we're not just talking about problems and not bringing any type of possible solution. The pastor of your church, Brother Feaster, may not have the time to talk about tithing, may not have the time to do it. So we should not hold the pastor accountable, one, by him or herself, as the sole person he needs to talk about tithing in the church. What about other people within the church? What about those teachers within the church? But you have to have some type of safe place. It has to be a type of safe environment for people to be able to come and ask that question. Because just like you said, I was listening to you real close, Brother Feaster, and you kept talking about, and you were talking about it. I know you weren't talking about it from your perspective, but you kept saying, my money, my money, my money. Well, let's be real. That's what people think, my money. But you know why people think about it as my money? Because they don't see the whole picture. That everything belongs to God anyway. And maybe they have not gained the understanding that only 10%, which God asked for, back in Deuteronomy, which we'll go to in a minute, was what he asked for. But there was purpose behind it. So we have to start scaling back the layers of the onion. And as we scale back the layers of the onion, then we start getting understanding. Then God is opening up, or we're opening up, our minds and our hearts to be able to receive what he actually said. I thought about this too, Brother Feaster. And here's a little case study that everybody that's listening to us can actually do. If you ask three pastors in your immediate community something as simple as, what is the purpose or the reason why your members tithe? I thought about this. I said, you know, I can almost guarantee, Brother Feaster, that you're going to get three different answers. That you can agree or disagree. You know how we do it on the PRF table. But I'm willing to believe that you'll get three different answers from the three different pastors in your community. And then if you ask three members in those three different churches, that same question. What is the purpose or reason why you tithe as a member? I'm guaranteeing that you'll probably get two out of those three answers are going to be different. Matter of fact, you don't even have to go outside of your own church, Brother Feaster.
That's even if you even get an answer.
Yeah. You don't even have to go outside of your own church. Matter of fact, I may even ask that when I go to church on Sunday. This thing is not about embarrassing anybody. It's not about making people believe that they don't know what the Bible says or they don't understand. But here's the thing. You never know if somebody doesn't understand something if you don't ask.
Right.
There's people sitting in the church giving up money time after time, week after week in churches. And they think because of the way that they're giving that they're good. Brother Feaster, we're gonna pull back some layers of the onion, and we're gonna see that that just doesn't work for God. It just doesn't work for God. Well, how do you know, Reverend Dunlap? How do you know, Brother Dunlap? You're not God. You know, you're right. But when you read these scriptures that we're gonna read, it says something a little bit different, and then maybe somebody will come up with that type of response as well. Brother Feaster, God's people have to gain knowledge.
Right.
God's people have to break the shackles of this financial bondage that so many men and women in the body of Christ are up under. This thing is about being able to get liberation and freedom from being so pressed down and weighted when it comes to finances. Last week, didn't I talk about 80 people that lost their job?
That's right.
I also talked about last year, that was last Friday that happened. And then last year, a couple of months ago, 426 people lost their job in another close community where I live. So guess what? We as the body of Christ, we as ministers, we as men and women of God have to be able to say, how do we respond to people's needs? And I'm going to just be honest with you. For those 80 people that lost their job, if all 80 people are churchgoers, there may be something going on in that person's mind to say, don't know how I'm going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's a crying shame if those individuals stop giving their tithe to God because they don't see no help around them.
Mm.
So we must educate. We must help people. We must be able to say, we must be available. And I think you used my terminology before. You got to have enough courage to care. But doggone, let's just ask a simple question. What's the purpose of why you tithe?
Right.
Let me share with you my experience of tithing. And for all those who are out there listening, we see you on the switchboard. We thank you for joining with us. You're listening to the PRS Table. I'm Brother Dunlap. We have Brother Feaster with us as well. The subject of tonight is truth in tithing. Press one on your dial pad if you would like to join into the conversation. If you have questions, if you have some scripture references that you know are relative to your experience in tithing, please share them with us. We always say on this show, it is not what myself, Brother Feaster, and Sister Sanders knows. It's what all of us know collectively and how God is able to use that to reach other people's lives. So let me tell you what about this. I became a Christian. I was saved, whatever terminology you want to use, accepted Christ, back in 1994. Let me tell you the first time that I tithed, 2004. Nobody ever said anything about tithing other than give your 10%. That's a shame. That's a shame. I'm not condemning those individuals who I was up under as far as church leadership is concerned, because maybe they just didn't know. Maybe they were ignorant to it. Maybe they only taught what they knew, whatever the case is. But the reality is this. If I had been tithing for 10 years and had an understanding of it for 10 years prior to when I started in 2004, how much more blessed do you think I probably could be? How many more people do you think I could have been a blessing to because God gave me increase? Come on, man. Brother Feaster, we don't think about it like that. Let me tell you how I came to tithe. I was doing some contract work for the government. I worked in contractor for a lot of years. And we were in between contracts because the government, you know how the fiscal years run. October starts a new fiscal year with the federal government. So the last time that I actually worked on a particular contract was back in August. So I had a check come in September, but here it is October, the government did not renew contracts. Here it is November, the government did not renew contracts. And I remember sitting in church, and all I know was God said, write out a tithe check.
Mm.
And I tithed off of my wife's check. My wife looked at me like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? There was really no conversation about it. All it was I don't know. All I know is what I felt. All I know is what I heard God say to me. And Brother Feaster, this ain't to be braggadocious or anything. But from that point on, I realized that I must do what I know God told me to do.
Right.
It wasn't, how many times, now that's 10 years, brother, 10 years. How many times have I heard from the pulpit, give your tithe, give your tithe, give your tithe, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? But until I heard it from God, that's what made all the difference in the world. We ain't millionaires, bro. I promise you we're not. I promise you we're not. But we have lived a life of tithing. Because we know it works. Simple. How many times have I said on this show, Christianity is not difficult. It's only as difficult as some people have made it seem in certain people's lives and as difficult as we make it seem in today's life. That was it, bro. We've tithed ever since. But you know the shame to it is this. There is a little bit of shame to it. What about all the rest of the people that I sit around or that sit around me or I sit around in church Sunday after Sunday that did not get that revelatory word of God, that only hear what I heard previously? Give your tithes, pay your tithes, give your tithes, pay your tithes, give your 10%, pay your 10%. What about all of them? I don't know about you, Brother Feaster, but that concerns me. It
right.
concerns me as a brother and sister in Christ. It concerns me as a man of God. It concerns me as a minister. What about the rest of them? Your delay was a couple of months. Mine was 10 doggone years. Seriously?
Yeah.
Really? 10 years. I remember a deacon in a church, 60-plus years old, that said he did not know that he was supposed to tithe. Really? So you see where I see the breakdown. Well, doggone, if he didn't know he was supposed to tithe as a leader in the church, he sure ain't doing nothing but telling people the same thing that he's been taught, if he was taught it and just ignored it, just give 10%. Brother Feaster, we have to do better. So I thank God that you're on the show with me. I thank God for the listeners that are out there so that we can help people get some revelation. We don't want people doing like Malachi, robbing God. And, oh, my goodness, Brother Feaster, I don't know why I said that.
That is
the tithe scripture. When I go to various churches that I hear, but go ahead, Brother Feaster.
Don't call it the tithe scripture. Call it the beat up scripture, because when most times that scripture is said across the pulpit, it is not said as a scripture. It is said as a battering axe, a battering ram, or a shotgun, or something. It's not said in the same intensity, it's not said in the same intensity that God intended when Malachi wrote it.
You know, there was that was one of the questions that I had. You know, what scriptures, and this is a question, this is on the Facebook page as well, what scriptures formulate your understanding of tithing? And I think if you ask that question, so many Christians are going to say Malachi 3:8.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say exactly that. So from Malachi 3:8, before you can read it if you got it, Brother Feaster, or if not, I'll pull it up. the thought that I that came to me was this. What is tithing not? Sometimes to find out what something is good to find out what it's not.
Right.
I had a sorry NCOIC supervisor early on in my military career. Sorry. He was a sorry supervisor. Not as an individual, but as a supervisor. He didn't know how to write evaluations. He didn't know my job. So how can you supervise me when you don't know my job? We both got to almost the same career field. He beat me up on my evaluation because he didn't know how to write. Nobody took the time with him over 19 years in the Army to show him how to write an evaluation report that was good for the person that was underneath him. And I learned from that. I learned that type of leadership is not the type of leadership that I wanted, leader that I wanted to be. So I say that, I bring that point up to everybody listening for this one point. You learn what not to do as part of your motivation for what to do. If you see somebody not loving God, that helps you to be able to say, I don't want to be like that. I want to love God. I want to love my neighbor. So I thought about that, Brother Feaster. You know, I want people to share it as well. What is tithing not? And here's a couple of things that I came up with. And one of them is, and the reason I'm reading is because of what you just said with about Malachi. Tithing is not used as a method to inflict fear. It's not to be used as a method to inflict fear in the people of God. God didn't do it, and neither should you. Here's what you do. Give them the space to make their own decision and let them grow in the process.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not deep, y'all. I promise you. Give them the space. Give them the space to make their own decision. God didn't beat nobody up about this tithe thing. Excuse me. About this tithing principle, the tithing law. He did not beat them up. He gave it to them, and it was up to them to listen. So the reason why we're talking about Malachi is because they didn't listen. So if you're using that scripture in church Sunday after Sunday, you're using it just like the prophet gave it to the Israelites, but God told the prophet to give it to the Israelites. Oh, my goodness. Because of what they were not doing. So if you as a pastor have to, or a minister have to sit up there every Sunday and quote from Malachi 3:8, shall a man rob God? Then maybe that is an indication to you that you need to be able to provide some type of teaching, some type of instruction so people can understand why they should tithe. And then you don't have to quote the same thing Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I turn a deaf ear every time I hear it, brother. Every time I hear it. Because my question in my spirit, what I say is, well, if they're not doing it, what are you doing to help them get there? God gave Moses laws to give to the Israelites. Mount Sinai, as they were on the journey, he gave them laws. Can you imagine God just not giving them nothing and then trying to hold them accountable? I can't see it, brother. God is not going to be, he is not going to hold you and I accountable for something that we did not know. You know who's going to be held accountable? The ones who knew it and didn't share it.
Yep.
The ones who have a responsibility and a duty to make sure that the people are equipped. Going back to Ephesians 4:11. Go ahead, bro. I'm gonna be quiet for a minute.
I was saying, but let's even go plainer than that. I think in a lot of cases we look at the tithe as the if you think about the Old Testament temple, we look at the tithe and equate it to the holies of holies, where only the high priest once a year goes in there for all of the people. But it's not that. The tithes, there's no difference between the principles that God set with the tithe than the principle that God set with marriage, with giving, with relationships between you and your brother and your sister. And I think we've taken the tithe and set it so far out of reach that people don't feel like they have a right to ask the question. Something as simple as ask the question. Majority of people, if you go in the, and I really believe that the majority of the answer to the question that you said, what is the purpose or the reason for your members tithing, I think the majority of people are going to say out of obligation or because it's a commandment.
Mm.
But we fail to realize that every commandment that God gave us was not saturated in don't do this, but it was saturated in, it was saturated so much more in I am protecting you. There are only a few commandments that God gave us, and it wasn't for our betterment. You know, some of it was, I am the Lord thy God, and you will worship me only. Okay, got it. You're God. You're a jealous God. Got it. But every other principle is more of, you know, for example, when the children of Israel went inside of the promised land, God told them, don't intermingle with the people. Don't intermarry with them. Don't do these things. Because he knew what that would do to the people. But we've taken the tithe as being this principle that's wrapped in the vault and only a few people can go in and crack the code to where people just, they don't feel like they're obligated to even ask. They feel like, and it goes back to that question you asked, is there a difference between giving a tithe and 10%? So many people are giving out obligation as opposed to giving in love. So then my question is, if the tithe only 10%, you see, I'm going to reverse the question. If the tithe only 10%, because God told Abraham to sacrifice your son. Well, if you peel back that onion a little bit, this is the same son that God promised him that he would be the father of many nations. So in other words, the same promise that God is telling you that the same promise that God has given you to fulfill the promise, God is now saying, give that promise back. And it's the same thing with the tithe. The same commandment that God is telling us to flesh out is the same commandment God is saying, give it back. Give it back. Give it back. We spend too much time in obligation. In obligation and not even understanding the requirement behind it. I mean, there is a requirement, but it's an obligation. So am I going to hell because I don't give the tithe? Is that a requirement for entry? When I stand before the pearly gates, and I stand before God, and God is going through and talking to me, is the requirement to get into heaven that I paid or gave or whatever my tithe? And let's think about it like that. Let's take it down to this basic form. You and I are Christians. Is that a requirement for getting into heaven? And the simple answer is no, it is not. It is not a requirement to get into heaven. It's not. It is a requirement as a Christian. Now, that's, you know, I learned this phrase last week while I was in training, break the code. You know, so I'm going to break the code. So I'm going to take it from the church to whatever job we have. So I'm in the Army. So once I join the Army at that particular job, then I'm required to do that job. And each level that I increase in responsibility, there's a new requirement. So the level and the responsibility that I'm at now, JR, you're no longer in the Army. You're not held to the standard that I'm held in.
Mm-hmm.
But yet in the church, they will hold us both accountable for the same thing. But this is not your job. This is not you have nothing to do with what I do. So we think that simply because I come into the church, simply because I am a member of the church, or however you do it, however you say it, that I am obligated to everything that everybody else is. When simple enough, that is not a true statement. That is not a true statement. Because there are gifts and talents within me that I am obligated to do as unto God. And then there are gifts and talents in you. All right, let's take it to Walmart. I work in the electronic department, and that's my specialty. And I happen to be on break or going from break or just walking through the store, and I'm in the shoe department, and a customer asks me about shoes, I can give you basic knowledge of the shoe department.
Mm-hmm.
And anything outside of that basic knowledge, as in the men's shoes are right here, and these are the size 9. Well, do you have this in the back? Well, now I have to go get somebody in this department. You know, and it goes back to, like you said, we got to share the wealth. I may not have the answer. So I got to go find the answer for somebody else or take you or lead you or direct you to the place where you can get the answer from.
That's right.
So the
That's
simple
right.
principle of the tithe is, in most cases, we don't understand the tithe. And if we're using biblical principles, no principle in the Bible is wrapped outside of God's love and God's grace and God's glory. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are giving of the tithe and it's not saturated in love, matter of fact, the Bible says if you got an ought with your brother, hold the tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your brother, resolve the issue, and then come back and bring your tithe. I mean, just without even dissecting that, just in that right there, that tells you that God cares more about the relationship. God cares more about you than he do the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Just
well, he cares about the, you know, in addition to him caring about you, that individual, he cares about the relationship that you have with your brothers and your sisters.
Right.
This thing is not just a vertical thing. It's a vertical and horizontal.
Yeah.
It's actually both of them. So we need to find that scripture and post that scripture on the page, brother. If you got to argue with your brother, hold it tight. You know, hold it.
Okay.
Don't get that part of it right. But let me tell you, I just know, I understand, that's not something that your pastor is probably going to speak about. Your pastor is probably not going to say, if you have a problem with anybody in this church, the Bible says, if you have an ought with your brother, so don't even bring your tithes up here. When the basket go around, don't even put it in there, don't even put nothing in there.
Right.
Not saying, not giving you, I'm not giving you, let's go ahead and help the enemy on this one, help kill the enemy on this one. I'm not saying just go out and spend it because you didn't give it, because you're still accountable for it. But don't give it right now.
Right.
So you know what that takes? That takes self-discipline. Remember, like I said earlier, this thing is not about paying a bill. It's not about paying a bill. So if you got to get something right with your brother, that means you put that tithe to the side, which means you're going to have some kind of understanding about budgeting. You may not just be able to keep that money in the bank. You may need to move it to another account so you don't spend it if you have bad spending habits. That's what we're talking about. So, Brother Peace, I'm glad that you brought that up because God cares more. He cares about the individual, but at the same time, he also cares about our relationship with one another. I want to go back on something real quick because we have a whole lot more callers that are listening right now. So let's go to the Word. And for those of you who are just joining, you're listening to the PRF table, and tonight's subject is truth in tithing. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about what's the truth behind tithing, what's all involved with tithing. Remember how we said the leadership. You know, it seems like we stay on this, and for everybody who's listening, Brother Feast is a minister and I'm a minister. So when we say leadership and we put it into a bubble, we're including ourselves if the shoe fits. Amen. Simple as that. We talked about Malachi 3:8. That's the beat down scripture in church. So let me go ahead and read what 3:8 says, Brother Houston. Should a man rob God? Or for my translation, the New Living Translation, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. How, you ask? What do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. And then we go to the next part. I never hear nobody mention verse 9.
Hmm.
But I hear them skip over verse 9 to verse 10. We're going to be real on this night tonight. Verse 9 says, you are under a curse, for the whole nation has been cheating you. The whole nation has been cheating me. That's a lot of folks that say it like this. The whole church has been cheating me. Well, that may not be the case in your church, Brother Beaston, that the whole church is cheating God. It may just be some individuals that are doing it, but there also may be there some individuals that don't have good understanding. So the beatdown scripture, that's what you called it, right?
Yeah,
the beatdown scripture. That's how it beats people down, because you have people that may not be tithing because they don't have the proper understanding of tithing. They may be like you. Okay, you're telling me give you 10%, but I don't understand why. So why beat them down, pastors, ministers, men and women of God, you who have been tithing for 30 years and believe you got it totally down pat? Why beat somebody down and put them into a group with individuals who are doing it out of rebellion versus lack of understanding? So here we go to verse 10. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse so that there would be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you will have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. That's Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. I read verse 9, the verse that everybody skips over, and then also verse 10 and verse 11 says, your crops will be abundant. Okay, now hold on now. So if I'm tithing, according to this scripture, there's going to be some abundant growth. For I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine because they are ripe, or before they're ripe, says the Lord. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such as the light. So if we are in this state of confusion, Brother Feaster, if we're not having the type of understanding that we need to have as Christians, how can we get to verse 11?
Mm-hmm.
How can our crops be abundant? How can the money that we're making from our jobs grow and manifest? How can the people around us call us blessed if they don't see us blessed? Let me tell you something. 50% of the people... Over 50% is probably closer to 60% of people in the United States of America, Brother Feaster, do not have living wills. So you know what that means? When people die, those individuals that are around us, oftentimes there's a bunch of mess. The church is not immune to it because we don't take care of our business like we should sometimes. Let me tell you, 70% of the people working in the government are getting investigated for financial issues. There's a whole bunch of Christians working in the government. Uh-oh, that means a whole bunch of Christians are also inside of your church. So the things that are going on in people's lives, they're all around us. We got to tackle it. We got to deal with it. So, Brother Pizza, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to let you take it for a while. If you go to quote Matthew 3 and 8, I'm going to ask you to go back to Malachi 3 8. I'm going to ask you to go back to Malachi 2 7. Here's what it says. The words of a priest's lips should preserve knowledge of God, and people should go to him for instruction. The priest is a messenger of the Lord. Your instructions have caused many to stumble into sin. For you have not obeyed me, but you have shown favoritism in the way you carry out my instructions. So guess what? Playtime is over, ladies and gentlemen. Playtime is over. Lack of understanding is over. Once you get an understanding of something, you have a requirement to be able to share that knowledge with somebody else. Don't ask me to quote a scripture and a verse for it, because I'm not. I can't. I just believe that's of God. And those of us who are men and women of God, we have a responsibility to make sure we're giving out the instructions the way God wants us to give them out. And I promise you, I don't see Malachi 3:8 as an instruction Sunday after Sunday to your church folks to beat them over the head for tithing so that they can give tithes and offerings. Bro, I'm dropping the mic, Brother Feaster. Whatever you got, go ahead. I'm going to give me some water, and I'm just going to sit back and let you run with this horse for a while.
I sit here listening to you talking about Malachi chapter 3, and and it being repeated Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and then you broke down the reason behind Malachi, and I'm sitting here thinking, at what point you as a leader understand, or let me see, at what point do you grow your members? If that's the case, that you feel like you got to keep asking the question, does a man rob God? Does a man rob God? Then at what point does that leader look at the obligation and say, then I need to explain to them how not to rob from God? I mean, if we're at the point to where this is an issue, so again, take the yep. issue out of the church and let's go to Walmart. Let's go to IBM. Let's go to Google. Let's go to all these places and look at this exact same principle. I'm in the Army, and one of the things that we do is a simple thing called a police call. And that is when trash is built up in a certain area, a police call ain't nothing but picking up the trash in a certain area. So me as a leader, I walk out my building, I walk to my area, whatever the case may be, and I see that there is too much trash or trash in this area, then I can either pick it up myself, or if it's a lot, I can organize and get some group of people and we'll do a police call. In other words, we don't just walk by and see that the problem is still there and not do anything about it, but we do something about it. And I just talked to you about this earlier today, JR. This scripture has really been burning within me about the Good Samaritan and the three people that were addressed in the Good Samaritan. You have the priest who didn't even look at the situation, and you have the Levite who came, looked at the situation, touched the person, assessed the situation, and didn't do anything about it. And then you have the Good Samaritan who actually did something about it. So my question is, which one of the three are we? Are we the people that, you know, are we someone that says, well, you know, I'm just going to walk by it and act like I don't see it? Or with somebody that looks at the situation, sees the situation, has sympathy but no empathy. You know, and a lot of times that's what happens. You know, and I like to go back to when we had these major national disasters and the news would start showing the people that were affected. And we're sitting in front of our TV and we were like, man, you know, man, they've been through so much, or wow, they did it. They've been through so much, but yet we won't do anything to help that person in that situation. And that, so a lot of people are like the Levite. We'll sit there and we'll say, man, something's wrong and somebody needs to do something, and not realizing that I am that somebody. I am that somebody to do something. Mm-hmm. So if the pastor is constantly having to, and I go back to what I've been saying week after week, it's all about education. Sometimes we got to educate ourselves. We have to educate ourselves. We have to not be scared to get the education and to step out and say, I don't know. It's like those words right there are like, I don't know, kryptonite to Superman. You just got to stay away from them. But it's all right to say, I don't know.
It definitely is.
It's totally all right to say, I don't know. And if people don't know, we have a right to ask.
You know, let me tell you what it just baffles me. I have a seminary education, master's degree level. I'm not bragging. That God just allowed me to have that and took me there and gave me that experience. And do you know, there is no mandated course, at least where I went, and I checked a couple other seminaries as well, that talk about teaching on finances. Hmm. It may be an elective course, but it would just seem to be, with as much stuff as going on within the body of Christ, especially because we know it. We know it as ministers because people are coming to us.
Yeah.
We know this, that it would seem that somebody needs to say, and maybe it's just us, we need some more teaching on this. I promise you, there's a course going in some seminary behind all of this. It's coming over the next couple of years, I guarantee you, because there's no way that we can have ministers going to college, ministers going to seminary, and not have an understanding about biblical principles, biblical understanding, wisdom being taught about finances and how to manage that. And if you can't manage it, send it to somebody else. We talked about that with resources last week. Man, look, if you don't if you got to keep saying Malachi 3:8 Sunday after Sunday, and you know that your finances is jacked up, because I know plenty of pastors that are, you know your finances is jacked up, it is not a thing, it is a thing of pride if you don't do this. But it is not a thing of pride if you say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and set up some financial management classes. We're going to call Brother Dunlap and Brother Feaster and let them come in and talk about stewardship or talk about tithing. I'm telling you, the longer we keep, the longer that this continues to plague within the body of Christ, the longer it's going to take for people to get back to places where they used to be. There's a whole people, a whole bunch of people out there in the body of Christ that used to be at a certain place with Christ. They used to be at a certain level. But financial problems, I'm telling you, have set so many people back. So many people back. So we're going to continue doing what we know that God has called us to do, Brother Feaster. And let me tell you why I'm so passionate, another reason why I'm so passionate about this. I'm about to put Brother Feaster on mute because he is too loud. All right. If one person in the church has a misunderstanding of tithing or lacks knowledge in such an important principle such as tithing, then I'm going to teach him. I'm going to teach him. But you can also teach them if you're called to do so. You can share your experience. You can open up that safe place for God to reveal. Because if somebody has heard the beatdown scripture over and over and over, it's going to take something within their mind to be reframed and retransformed back to the way that they used to be before they was poisoned with, you must tithe because you're a Christian. You must give your 10%. You're robbing God. Who wants to hear that? Really? Who wants to hear that? So I'm crying out. I'm doing like Jeremiah. I'm crying out for my people, for my men and women of God that are out there that are using that scripture in that way. Just stop it. I believe, Brother Feaster, that's what God says. Just stop it. There is a different way because the people need to be restored. The people need to be set free, and they're not going to be set free. It's just like, Brother Feaster, you talked about Walmart, right? It's just like in your household. You keep telling your child that your child is bad. What do you expect out of them? What type of behavior do you expect out of them? You keep telling me that I'm bad. Why the heck am I going to be good? Seems like it's kind of simple to me, but, you know, maybe it's me. So here's my thing. It's just like Matthew with the parable of the lost sheep. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes away or wanders away, what will he do? He won't leave the 99 others on the hill and go out to search for that one that is lost, ? If he finds it, I tell you the truth, he'll rejoice over it more than the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it's not my Heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. So, Brother Feaster, what I'm saying is this. If there is one who doesn't have good understanding, who is lacking the understanding, who is like you prior to those 4 months of when you became a Christian to the time that you actually started tithing, or me, who was saved, and then it was 10 years before I started tithing, then that's the one that God is concerned about. And I believe there's a whole bunch of ones like that in my church, in your church, and those who have also left from the church as well. So, Brother Feaster, you still with us, bro?
I am still with us. I am. I'm really sitting here going over a lot of stuff that we've talked about, and just a lot of things that I've gone over some things in my head about the tithe. And I was just sitting here and I just got amazed at how we have separated the tithe to be this super, super principle when it is not a super principle. It's a simple principle, just like everything else. And I also think about, you know, I try to be sympathetic to a lot of other people that may be listening in that are not Christians. And you know, they say we're talking about possession, resources, finance. Well, why are we talking about tithing? Well, you got to look at it. The principle applies in any set, in any situation. It could be something as simple giving if you're not a Christian. You know, look at it, if you give, it's a tax write-off. Bad, rough example, but, you know, that's the best thing I can come up with in my little simple mind. But the principle is still the same. So if you're giving out of obligation because I want a tax write-off, and you don't care about the organization that you're giving to, or, you know, the people that they benefit the organization, or like once a year we have this campaign where all the agencies, they come into this pamphlet, and then we pick once a year how much money we want to give to this campaign, and how many months out of the year we want to give to this campaign. If we don't go in there and look and see that this organization, 50% of the profits are not going to the cause, but going to like administration or marketing, then we don't, you know, it's little stuff like that, you know. Or so are we giving just because I want, and like the two of the organizations that I give to, for years I was getting a letter saying, thank you for your contributions. So are we doing it because we want somebody to know that we're giving? I think a lot of times we do things simply because. And that's the easy answer. Old story, I'm full of stories. Old story where the lady she had gotten married, and she was cooking a turkey. And every time she cooked this turkey, with his ham, she cut both ends of the ham off, threw the ends that she cut off, she threw them away, and then put the rest of the ham inside the oven and cooked it. So this went on, and this went on, and this went on, and she got married, and she kept on doing it, and kept on doing it. And so the husband asked, why do you do this? And the husband said, the wife said, I don't know. So she went and asked her mom, and mom said, baby, I did it because the oven was small. You know? So sometimes it's got to be an understanding. So it's got to be understanding. We have to get the understanding, and that's what we're doing today, trying to begin the process of getting an understanding.
And I'm glad you used that word, begin the process, because there's individuals who had their own understanding of tithing. Everybody doesn't have the same understanding. So we begin a process together by having this type of dialogue, discussing it, and letting God do the rest. We have a caller that's been patiently holding. I truly apologize. He's calling with the last four of 1972. Go ahead, Dr. I. So sorry. How you doing this evening?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
Good. Thoroughly enjoying the dialogue that you guys are having. So definitely keep up the great work. Just again, wanted to call and just thank you guys for, you know, the challenging discussion that you have going. If I'm allowed, I'll just make a quick comment and I'll try to get off really quickly. I heard your pain with those who constantly share Malachi 3:8-10. And though I hear the pain, I still believe that you're entitled to your opinion and they're entitled to their opinion. And I would imagine that there are some who could probably debate you on why there is a reasoning for doing some of that that they're doing. One, for me, you know, I believe in all of the Bible, and I do believe in explaining things in context. And I think as we share context, sometimes you're able to give a full explanation. Sometimes you're going to get some this Sunday. You may end up getting some next Sunday, whatever the case may be. But on many occasions, I think you have new members. You have new saved people who do need to hear that message. Now, whether or not it needs to be, you know, repeated on a Sunday basis, well, that just kind of depends on your church, and it kind of depends on what type of enrollment numbers or what type of new people you have coming in on a weekly basis. And maybe as that's being said, it's not necessarily for you, but maybe it's for some others who are in the congregation that do need to hear that message. So I just thought I'd drop that on you just to share a bit. But again, congratulations on a wonderful show, and I'm just enjoying the dialogue, and I'll just kind of drop it right there.
Hold on, brother. I want you to talk with us for a few minutes if you got some time.
Okay, well, the only problem is my little ones are running through here. I don't want you to hear them, but I will try to mute and talk as I go so you don't hear a whole lot of them. I'm one of those dads that got to be in the mix, and they'll come in here in a minute. So, but you go ahead. I'll go as long as I can.
Okay, well, and to your point, and, you know, we respect it all. So if there is some that need to hear it, why won't the individual who is saying that scripture go to them?
Mm-hmm.
That would be one of my questions. If I know, if it's about me as a pastor looking at the financial statements, and I see that Dr. Such and Such just is not giving any tithes, or was giving tithes and then stopped, I think it would be more prudent to say, "Hey, brother, is anything going on? I noticed this."
Right.
But I'm also thinking that sometimes there may not be the true knowledge that this individual is tithing. I'm not sure when you came on, but one of the things about it, in Malachi 3:8, and to your point about the new Christian or somebody that's just coming in, you know, with Malachi 3:8, he was talking to individuals that knew what the law was. He wasn't talking to somebody new. He was talking to somebody who knew what God had already said. It was already part of their culture.
But as you know, when you are teaching, you are pulling from different places. Now, that may be a piece of what you choose to teach with, but there are going to be some other pieces added to it. So as you, and that goes back to the contextual piece that I shared earlier. As you're doing, and I'll add to the contextual piece, the framing. And I don't know what type of framing is being used as this is being approached on a weekly basis. This is just like anything else. You have a toolbox. You can use this tool. You can use this tool. You can use this tool. It's just kind of the wishes of that particular mechanic or craftsman for that particular day. So, you know, we're not speaking specifically on any particular person, so I don't know exactly how it would have come out, but I'm speaking on what I've seen in the past. And in the right places, when it's done the right way, it can be a wonderful tool to help some to move forward with what they're doing with tithing. Now, I'm not going to say that it's the best tool. I'm not going to say it's the only tool, but it is a tool.
What other tools have been, because Brother Fierce and I was talking about this, what other tools are out there that you can say from your experience that us as ministers or pastors are actually using in this subject area of tithing other than that scripture of Matthew 3:8?
Well, I'm going to just share a more practical approach, and I think earlier you might have said something to the extent of you didn't pull a scripture to back up exactly what you were saying. You just kind of said this was your opinion or something in that essence. So I'm going to share this and just kind of throw this out there. You know, one of the ways that you could possibly, and I'm not saying you have to do it, teach this process is look at the budgeting process inside of your church, and you show how much your church is actually providing to the needy, how much they're actually providing to those who don't have, and then you show how tithing and other pieces impact that. You know, it's one thing to look at your church budget and see that the church is not giving back, not providing, not feeding the hungry, not providing housing for the homeless. If you're not doing that, then it's really difficult to teach that whole piece. But if you are doing those things and you can show one how what they give impacts that, I think that makes a pretty good impact on a person. And then you use that as a building block and begin to share the whole piece about tithing. Because everyone inside of the church impacts what the church is able to do inside of that community. If all of us decide that none of us are going to tithe, we might as well, it's not a whole lot we're going to be able to do financially in order to help folks when they're going through. So I always like to show people how A plus B equals C, meaning your little piece added to my piece and someone else's piece, and then we can begin to impact folk at a much larger level and on a larger scale.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to keep this dialogue going. We're going to keep it going. That's what we're about on the show. We really want people to hear, not just from those of us who host the show, but from people like yourself who have experiences, because I'm glad I pressed you a little bit to pull out something else that probably was already in you, of course, but it's about being practical. One of the things, I don't know if you were on when we first started the show, but just telling somebody they need to give 10%, give 10%, give 10%, that's not practical. There's nothing practical with just telling somebody they need to do it just because.
Okay.
And
but what is practical is for me to show you, what is practical is for me to show you that if you did give 10%, this is where it's going to go. Bottom line, we're going to feed the hungry. We're going to clothe those who don't have clothes. And not only are we going to do it, but this is what we've done in the past. This is where our tithes and offering has been going. And if you're in agreement with this, then we want you to participate and not participate in a half manner, but participate in a whole manner.
Brother, we thank you. We appreciate the comments. For everybody,
thank you guys for allowing me, man. Man, just loving the show. Keep up the great work, man. And I just continue to pray that you continue to do all the great things that God has in store for you, man. And
all
do
right.
it with love, brother. Do it with love. None of us are perfect. As the gentleman already said, we don't know everything. You know, we just do the best that we can. But when we learn better, we are obligated to do better. So keep teaching, brother.
That's right. That's right. That's a future pastor, brothers and sisters that are listening. A future pastor on the line. Brother Feaster, let's go ahead and take a quick break. Give everybody a chance. We've been on going strong for about an hour now. So I just want to go to this song and just let it speak to you, and we'll be back in a few.
Walk in the light that shines so bright, let your soul feel right. Love is pure gold, yeah. Won't you wake up, wake up? Walk in the light. Won't you wake up, wake up, bring substance in your life. Won't you wake up, walk in the light. Won't you wake up, yeah. Where's your heart, where's your pride? Has it all been put aside? Life is dreams, living high, yet no substance in your life.
I'm Brother Dunlap. Also, we have Brother Feaster. Brother Feaster, that brother who was on the line a few minutes ago, really just really gave us something to think about. He really focused on the practical side for those who are just joining us. Tonight's subject is truth in tithing. And we say that that is the title of tonight's show, not to say that we have all truth, but it is to say that there are some truths that we need to be looking at. Your reality and my reality may be two different things. And if we don't have the type of conversation that we had a few minutes ago, if you were on the line listening to us, that's how we progress. That's how we try to figure this thing out. That's how we allow God to be able to use all of us in whatever way he's trying to use us to get the point across to our people. The song you just listened to was Pure Gold. It's by my favorite group, Earth, Wind & Fire. And a couple of things that they said is, you know, many hearts, many lives have been touched when you realize that you're worthy. You're the prize, but you have to heal inside. You know, where's your heart? Where's your pride? Has it all been pushed aside? Life's dreams are living high, yet there's no substance in your life. It's a hard world, I know, but you don't give in to the lies. Don't give in to the lies. You've always been a star. Everything that you need is inside of you. And the last part of that song that it really touches my heart is when they said, you got to break or make a change, and then you'll find that your stars will align. Brother Feaster, you know, this is about trying to help the stars to align in so many ways. Because if things are off kilter with us and within the body of Christ, whether it's in my church or your church or within my community, my city, or yours, then we can't live out that full potential that God has called us to be. We can't live out that full potential to be the type of people that he has called us to be. And there's people's lives at stake. And that goes back to what you were saying. So, Brother Feaster, I'm going to just turn it back over to you, bro.
The caller had me really thinking. One, I want to say I hope that we are not given the impression that we need to throw out Malachi chapter 3. I think you and I, JR, are both saying that Malachi chapter 3 needs to be said in its proper context. And I hope that's what everyone is getting. We are definitely not in the position to pick and choose which scriptures that anyone should use in their church or even for their own personal reading. So it's just that it's been taken out of context, and that's why I call it the hammer scripture, the battering scripture. You know, because it's been used out of context for so long as a battering ram. So I just want to put that out there that, you know, we are not saying take the scripture out. It's just put it in context. And in addition to that, there are so many more scriptures in reference to there. Let me get my English right. There are so many scriptures referencing money and tithing versus Malachi chapter 3.
Right.
And I think we're doing God and the listeners a disjustice if that's all we can come up with. If that's all we can come up with. And my brother that was on, he mentioned about leaders and how that he's reaching different type of people. And I truly agree with that, and by no means am I contradicting or going against what he's saying. But I think also that we need to take into account that there are more than people in the church that are robbing God. So if every week we're constantly talking about is a man robbing God, what about those that are not robbing God? At what point do you hold right. me liable? At what accountability do you hold me? At where is my standard? So there's a standard for those that are robbing God, but what about those that are not? So a standard, if you're going to set a standard as a leader and you are reaching the people, then that standard should reach all the people. if I'm at a point now where I don't rob God anymore in this aspect, then that scripture in that context does not apply to me. I'm fulfilling the command. I'm fulfilling the obligation. I'm fulfilling, you know, what God intended. So now, and that's what we're talking about, growing in the text and growing in grace, you know, growing in the knowledge, growing in the education. As I grow, then everything else needs to grow. Now I need to be fed something different. You know, when I was born, I was given milk. You give me some milk now all day, I'm going to be mad because I need sustenance. I need some meat, you know, I need some vegetables. I need something else to drink too. You know, so I just don't want anybody out there to believe, and I'm not saying that's what my brother was saying. That's just what I was feeling in my heart. I hope that no one is thinking that we're picking and choosing the scriptures that we want or even want to throw out Malachi chapter 3.
That's right. And good point. You know, this is about God's business first and foremost. So we must be careful with it. And that's what's been weighing on myself. And I'll just be honest with all the listeners. That is something that has been weighing on myself and also Brother Feaster. Because we know that this is such a sensitive topic. We know this is a topic that is not discussed in the church or by the church as it, in our opinion, as it should be. And I say in my opinion, based upon the fact of how many people are struggling financially. So again, this show is about possessions, resources, and finances, and how all three of those particular components of PRF are interrelated. So we can't talk about giving all the time, but not ever have a conversation about tithing. I think you have to put the cart before the horse. The other part of that is this. So many people have been hearing giving, 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 and not enough talk about tithing, that it's hard for them to tithe because it's easier for them to give. To give a $20 tip to God versus that $300 tithe is a whole lot easier than it is on the other end. So we have to be careful when we just keep when we keep talking the same talk over and over and over, and we have to be cautious, you know, from a spiritual perspective of what are we listening to? What are we listening to and what are we saying? So we're trying to really be led by God and treat this with the delicacy that it needs to be. Because we're talking about change, we're talking about transformation, we're talking about liberation from bondage. Those are all the things that we're talking about. And as we continue to talk about it, then we're of the opinion of the Spirit that God is going to use what we're doing and what people, like the brother that was just listening to us and talking to us a few minutes ago, will be able to use to help people and bless people in the end. So, Brother Feaster, let me go here, because you mentioned we don't want people to think that we're just against Malachi 3:8. One of the things that I will say to individuals, there was a lot of talk about tithe prior to Malachi. That was one of the points that I was speaking to the brother about. So since there was more talk about tithing way before Malachi, let's just go there. So if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 14, Deuteronomy chapter 14 talks about giving the tithes. And it says you must set aside a tithe of your crops, one-tenth of all your crops that you harvest each year. Bring the tithe to the designated place of worship, the place that the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, and eat it there in his presence. This applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, firstborn males of your flocks and of your herds. And here is the purpose. Remember we were talking about earlier today, or earlier in the show, we were talking about what is the purpose. If you were asked what the purpose was, what was it? The purpose is right here. Doing this will teach you always to fear the Lord your God. So my question, Brother Feaster, why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult? All these reasons that I may have heard or you may have heard about why we're supposed to tithe is to teach you to fear the Lord your God. And it's not that fear that he's going to come down and crack you with the whip. It's a reverential fear. Brother Feaster, no. Go ahead, bro.
It's funny you say that, because that actually that goes back to what I said earlier about and let's just go to what we've talked about throughout the last couple of shows of stewardship. It goes back to how we value a thing, how we value a thing. And God wants us to value him more than the tithe. If we put the tithe over God, then we have now placed the tithe as a god.
An idol.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something that we worship. You know, and as we peel this onion, I think we're going to spend twice as many weeks, or could spend twice as many weeks on the tithe as we did on stewardship. Because as we peel back that onion, we could look at, you know, the pastors fattening up their pocket, or the pastors, the members wanting their church to look a certain way, or, you know, it's just all kind of stuff that we can peel back on why this thing has gone the way it's gone. But the bottom line is, like you said, if it's not to glorify God, then it is no longer a tithe. God does not even see it. He don't see it. It's not what he intended. God only sees what he intended. Maybe I should say it like this. God only accepts what he intended. If we go back to Genesis, Cain and Abel both gave of an offering, but only one was accepted. Because it was given in the way that God said give it. And again, you know, I'm trying to balance this thing for those that are not Christian. Let's take it back to your children, you know, your coworkers, your boss, your subordinates. If they don't, like your subordinates, if they don't give you the report or the product with the boundaries that you set for it, then you won't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the exact same thing. And it's not that we want our subordinates to fear us, but we want that respect as being the leader. This is what I said I wanted, the way I want it, and that's what I expect. So we can understand it at work. Now, by no means am I beating up anybody. We can understand the principle at work, but we don't understand the principle at church. Or we don't apply the principle at church.
Or it just may not have been taught. You know, again, that's why I keep hanging my head at, Brother Feaster, is if it's not been taught to us, if it's not been taught to me, then how can you expect me to actually do it?
I think between the two of us, with the two different angles we're going at, I think we're going to hit this thing pretty hard.
and this is what I say. Again, the purpose is clear. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to fear the Lord your God always. That's it, a reverential fear. So that means you have to go back to understanding. This is in the book of Deuteronomy. That reverential fear that God is talking about in this scripture, he gave this to Moses to give to the people. He gave it to him because look at what he did for his people. Look at the Exodus. Look at how he called them out from out of being in bondage. So let me go on, because I really don't want us to end this show tonight without just tackling the whole context of the scriptures from Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22, going to 29 to the end. So we understand what the purpose is now. That should release and free people up altogether. That should free some individuals that may have gotten beaten up by that Malachi 3:8. And they realize, you know what, this thing is not about giving money to the church so the church can pay its bills. See, we have to be able to separate what God is talking about and what we're talking about. Because truth be told, nowhere in the scripture does it say the tithe is for the building. That's a whole nother story. But nowhere does it say that tithing, what comes in from tithe is to go to the building. We may have created that in this Western Christian culture that we live in, and that may be what some of the norm is. Well, you know, you give the tithes and offerings, and, you know, we got a building fund. We have to pay the mortgage. Well, we're going to deal with that one too, Brother Feast, but let me go on. Now, when the Lord your God when the Lord your God blesses you with a good harvest, the place of worship he chooses for his name to be honored might be too far to bring the tithe. If so, you may sell the tithe portion of your crops and your herds, put the money in a pouch, and go to the place the Lord your God has chosen. When you arrive, you may use the money to buy any drink, cattle, sheep, goats, wine. Then feast there in the presence of the Lord your God and celebrate with your household. We can stop right there, Brother Feaster, because it is so much in just those couple of scriptures after we understand what the purpose is that God told specifically to Moses to give to the people. The first thing is this. You're bringing the tithe to a place of worship that the Lord's name must be honored. That's first and foremost. So that means you just don't tithe anywhere. Mm-hmm. Brother Feaster, I hope you hear me if nobody else does.
Hold on. Hey, man.
We don't just tithe anywhere. We tithe where the Lord God chooses for us to tithe. Truth be told, there may be some people that are tithing at churches that they don't belong to.
Mm.
Maybe God does not have it for them to be at that church, but that's the place where they want to be. That's the place you've been at for the last 25 years, so you really don't feel like exiting or having an exodus out to venture out into some other place. But the part that I find really, really interesting is it says, feast there in the presence of the Lord your God and celebrate with your household. That means the tithe, what was being brought to the place that the Lord God had chosen for them to bring it to, was not to give it there, to bring it there, and nothing to be done with it. It was to bring it there so they can feast with their household and with the other fellowship of the others that was there. Let me give you a little bit of education for those who are listening. God was specific. He said to my people, the Israelites, these are the laws, the commandments, judgments, and statutes. He commanded them that he wanted them to follow these. This law of tithing, this command to tithe, was given to the people before they entered into the promised land. So what did that mean? That means the journey up until they got into the promised land was not requiring them to tithe. But God saw it so fit that he made sure that they heard it more than one time.
Mm-hmm.
That just totally wipes out that Malachi 3:8 thing for me. Sometimes we got to say it more than once. And if God said it more than once in his Bible, in this Bible that we read as Christians, it just makes common sense to me that we can't just say it during offering time that you're supposed to tithe and just expect people to get it. Brother Feaster, everybody listening, God did not do it that way. So shame on us who stand behind a pulpit or teach in some other setting that say it one time and expect the people to get it. He said it more than once. There's several scriptures that's covered this. Deuteronomy 26, Leviticus, Numbers, he talks about tithing over and over and over. So that one point, Brother Feaster, you know, you got to make sure that you're tithing the place where God says that he wants you to tithe. Oh, let me help you. So you have to enter into the promised land. So that's the first and foremost thing. God gives the instructions of how to live once they got into the promised land. The promised land, the land of milk and honey, a place that the Lord God had promised them. After they get there, everybody didn't live in the same place in the land of Canaan. What did they have to do? They had to enter the land, then they had to conquer the land. So that means as they were traveling through the various places within the land of Canaan, all of those different ites, I-T-A-E-S, all those different ites, Brother Feaster, they had to conquer them. So let me put it into today's terminology. The deadite.
Hmm.
The prideite. the creditite. All those things had to be conquered before they can actually do the next thing that God commanded them to do or told them that they needed to do, which was occupy and settle in the land. You can't settle in something when you're struggling with debt. You can't settle in something when your credit's jacked up and you know you got to go and get a new car. Or you got other bills that you may need to get loans for. And it keeps digging you further and further in the hole, whoever I'm talking to. That's not the way of God. So what I'm seeing from this is God has a place of rest for all of us. But there's some things that we got to do, Brother Feaster, some things that people have to do in order to get to that place of rest. Mm-hmm. Because if you read it throughout the rest of the book of Deuteronomy, the next chapter in Deuteronomy talks about the release of the debt. So ain't no need of trying to get out of debt and doing a tithe afterwards. You got to do stuff in order. You got to put stuff into perspective. But it's not something that is an individual thing. This was a collective thing. Brother Feast, I got one more thing, and I'm probably going to shut up for the night, I promise you. In this same chapter, Deuteronomy 14, he said, don't neglect the Levites in the town, for they have no allotment of the land among you. Brother Feast, the Levites were the priestly folks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't neglect them because they have no allotment of the land. So the land of Canaan was given to the 12 tribes. It wasn't given to the priests. He says, give it to the Levites who receive no allotment among you, as well as the foreigners living among you, the orphans, the widows in your towns, so that they can eat and be satisfied. Then the Lord your God will bless all your work. So if the tithe is not being, if the tithe is not going for the right purposes, then you can't do what God wants you to do inside of your church and inside of your community. So we say, give it to the Levites because they have no allotment in the land. So that means what was produced by the land, those cattle, the sheep, the goats, the wine, all those things that was produced in the land, the Levites had no inheritance to them. So they received after the people. Brother Friesa, this is probably my last comment. So why in the world are there so many churches that are using tithes to pay pastoral salaries? And the people sitting among you are just struggling. Deuteronomy 14. I'm not making it up, bro. Go ahead. I think I'm done for tonight. I promise you.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and give my final comment. I think that, you know, we're about to venture into a area that is gonna cause, well, I ain't say gonna cause, has caused a lot of controversy. My prayer is that everyone listening would get a little, I pray that everyone is listening that when something is said that you do not understand or you disagree or anything, that you would, you know, call in and not necessarily confront us, but challenge us. You know, we are not experts. You may know something we don't know. Or we may be, maybe it's just that you don't understand where we're going with this. What do we mean by what we just said? Our intent is not that you walk away confused. If you walk away mad, well, that just happens, you know? But not confused. We want, this is an educational piece. So I'm asking all the listeners that, you know, you spend this week getting yourself together and getting your words together, getting your thoughts together and being prepared to engage in a dialogue, because I think there's a lot of things out there to be said, and some people may not want to say anything. Well, we have the Facebook page. Feel free to, you know, say something on the Facebook page, but we want to really help you out as we help ourselves out, because we don't know it all. You know, some people out there are probably smarter than us, but we don't know it all, so we're asking for your own participation in this. It is not just two chairs at this table. When I look at the table, I see a long table with a lot of chairs and a lot of people sitting at it. And by no means do me and JR, I'm just having a problem with my English tonight. By no means are me and JR the only ones at the table, you know, doing all the dialogue and doing all the eating at the table, I should say. But we want everybody to partake in this. We want everybody to partake in this. We understand that this is a simple subject. We understand that this is a complex subject. We understand that this is a sensitive subject. And we understand that there's going to be a lot of personal beliefs and things that's going to be challenged. I mean, me and JR have been talking about this. JR, we've been talking about this for about a week now. And I've been challenged almost every day that we've talked, you know, because of some of the things that I was taught and the lack of knowledge that I have on it. I'm not, you know, the lack of knowledge that I have on it. So I'm still going to come on, and I'm still going to talk, and I'm still going to be a part of this because I want to learn more. I want to learn more. I got my notebook ready like I have every night, and thank everyone for listening. JR, I say it all the time, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this. It is my honor, and it is my pleasure. And my brother, I'll talk to you later.
You know, we're talking about a, you know, 20-plus year friendship that didn't start off talking about what we're talking about on the show, ladies and gentlemen, talking about a whole bunch of other stuff. So, you know, we're really just about trying to do the best that we can, give you what God has given to us, making sure that we're being sensitive to allowing your heart not to be hardened or to break up whatever is hard in your heart, because we understand that some people have been hurt. We understand that some people are disgusted. We understand that some people just don't understand. We understand that there's some people who came to Christ and it took 4 months before they started tithing, or some other individuals like myself that it took 10 years because there was nobody took the time to teach this principle versus just to state the principle. So with that, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and close out tonight's show. Visit the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. We have several questions out there that we're looking for you to express yourself. Thank you, Brother Feaster, for your diligence, and we also thank Sister Adia, who wasn't able to make it with us this evening, but we know she's with us in spirit. Remember, this is not about us. It's about God. It's about what he's trying to do inside of your life. So we're just praying that the things that are being discussed on the PRF table, we're believing that they're blessing you, but we want to hear from you, or we want to just feel it in the spirit, in the atmosphere, that what we're giving to you and what you're gaining from this and what you're giving to us is being transferred to other people, because it's a communal thing. It's not just an individual thing. Remember a couple of points that we made on tonight. You know, if one person in the church has a misunderstanding about tithing or lack knowledge in this particular important principle, then myself and Brother Feaster, we're here to actually teach them. But at the same time, you can also teach them if you're called to do so by sharing your experiences and also by opening up a safe place for God to reveal to whoever he needs to reveal to. We love men and women of God, pastors, those also in leadership positions. We respect and honor them in their rightful place. We just want some of them to get it together, some of them to break down the barriers of pride if they're experiencing some of the same thing that so many members in their congregations are actually experiencing, so that they can break free, break through, and get some breakthroughs, because it's been a long time that I've been watching men and women of God struggle from a financial standpoint and wondered for so many years, what's wrong? What's the problem? Why is not happening, things not happening the way that they should? Have enough courage to care, have a conversation with somebody, ask a simple question. What is the reason why you tithe? If somebody was to ask you that now, we know that you can go and say, according to Deuteronomy 14, chapter 14, verse 23, doing so will teach you always to fear the Lord your God. And we know that that is a reverential fear, not a fear like in the boogeyman, so to speak. And another thing that we talked about this evening, Brother Feaster, was what tithing is not. It's not used as a method to inflict fear in anybody. It's not something that I have to do, but it's something that I got an opportunity to do. That's the love piece that you were talking about, Brother Feaster. We do it because we have an opportunity to do, and because we love God who has provided everything for us, and we recognize that he is the one who has provided everything for us. It's better to have the conversation and seek understanding about why somebody doesn't tithe versus beat them over the head as if they're doing something wrong, because it may just be a misunderstanding in that respect. So as we go out, we're believing that we're going to be on this topic for a while, Brother Feaster. We already know it. We barely got through Deuteronomy 14, and that's okay. We can pick it back up. We can continue on Facebook throughout the week until next week. Join us again and every Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to the PRF Table. I'm Brother Dunlap, and Brother Feaster is with us as well. We love you, and we're going to go out and play this song, because what we really believe is that by what we're talking about, is going to shift a whole bunch of people's mindsets. It's going to make a shift in people's hearts. It's going to make a shift inside of your church. It's going to make a shift with some of your pastors and other leaders. And by all of that happening, it's shifting the atmosphere. So until we come back again next time, which is next Thursday at 8 p.m., be blessed. And if you have any questions or comments, continue to conversate with us on the Facebook page. God bless you and good night.
It's moving, and it's